living, you know, the Lord's eyes are upon us. He is looking at us every single day. And I'm going to share a verse with you. First, I want to pray. And then this is the first verse that God ever gave to me when I first came to Him. I read the verse one time, and He burned it on my heart. He sealed it in my life. And today, because He gave me that, I can give it to you. And this one simple verse to Timothy, who was a young man, can be such a guiding verse, guiding words, a signpost in your daily lives. Father, I thank You so much for this awesome group today, the incredible praise and worship that we had already, the singing, Lord, to You about love. And so today, as we come before You, we confess that we love You more than anything else, and that we want to tabernacle, hang out, live with, dwell with, commune with You today. So I ask, Father, that You'll open our hearts and our understanding so that we will be able this day to let You have a good time by how we respond to You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 simply says this. If you have a Bible, open it up. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. The first Bible I picked up was King James, so that's what I have. I have it here in the NIV. What, do you use NIV? Yeah? Okay, so here's what it says in NIV. Watch your life and doctrine closely. All right? Watch your life. How are you living? And then watch doctrine. See, what we saw in this video, these slides, were gauges. They measure air pressure. They measured the contents of blood, measured the temperature. All right? Now, God has all kinds of gauges for us, and I'm going to leave you today with three simple gauges that should indicate where you're standing with the Lord. It's exciting. So, number one, we watch our lives. Number two, we watch the doctrine. And then, what does it say after that? Who could read the rest of that verse for me? Would you like to read it? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16.
At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted
me. I think you're in a... It's a great verse, but that's not, I think we need one that's 1 Timothy 4, 16. It starts with the word watch. There you go. Did you hear that? He says, persevere. That means it's not necessarily going to be easy. Now, praise God, as Brady prayed earlier today, Jesus loved us. God the Father loved us so much He saved us. But now this verse, He saved us from hell and has prepared a wonderful future for us. But this verse says, take heed unto the way you're living and the doctrine. Put them together. And He says, persevere. Well, persevere doesn't sound like we're going to skip and hop and jump all the way. Yeah, we're full of joy of the Holy Ghost. But we persevere in this, and what are the results? What did that verse say? You will both save yourself. Doesn't that sound odd? You will save yourself and everybody who hears you. And what God is saying is that He pours His love out to everybody. And then there are people who respond back. They respond back to Him, you see. And they are granted a closer relationship with Him. As we came into the church this morning, there was a wonderful man standing outside there, a couple of them, and they were saying, walk over there, not over here. Now, I have a feeling that man who was outside is now inside. But if he stayed outside, he would not be in a service, in the sanctuary, hearing God's Word. So there are three things I want you to get here. There's outside, there's the foyer, and then there are the meetings. And in our relationship with God, we can be outside. We're on the property. We're just not inside. We can come inside and hang out in the foyer, and that's fine. A lot of nice talking and friendship, you know, going on. It's great. But the next step is to come all the way in, where they're singing and praise in the presence of the Lord. So the diagram that you saw up here that was repeated several times, four or five times throughout the slide, was actually a diagram of Ezekiel's temple, which is a temple that is yet to be built, you know, in Jerusalem. And so it's patterned after, of course, the first one, which was Moses' tabernacle. And then what was the next one? Anybody know? Which temple came after? Yes. Okay, Solomon built a temple. All right. And then that temple, you know, was destroyed and it was rebuilt by King Herod. And then this temple will be the fourth or fifth, depending on if you count David's tabernacle or not. All right. And so those tabernacles, those tents, those dwelling places had a gate. And the scripture says we enter his gates. It's like the parking lot, with thanksgiving in our hearts. And then we come to the next part, which is, you know, the courts. We enter his courts with praise. And then we go all the way into the Holy of Holies, which is Hebrews 9, that was the verses that were being read, to the very presence of God. And I so appreciated the comments about Valentine's Day earlier. How much do you love the Lord? Because you can be in the outer court, you can just be at the gate, or you can be all the way inside. All the way inside in his very presence. So it gets very, very exciting as we serve the Lord. Let's look at that verse again. If you have your Bible, let's read it out loud, okay? It's 1 Timothy 4:16, guys. This is a guiding light in every one of our lives. If we're willing for it. Because this is what it says. Let's read it together. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That is powerful. Because God has saved us. We're not going to hell. We're going to heaven. And because He loves you so much, He is giving you something to persevere in. And that is growing closer to Him. And as we do that, we will have much more of an influence in the people all around us. And there are measurements, guys and girls. We find in John, the epistles of John, he writes to young children, young men, and to fathers. There are three stages there of growth. Just like, you know, the outer court, you know, the gate, you know, all the way to the inside, you know, in the right order. Okay? Just like there were three, you know, levels in the ark. We find the number three quite often. You know, in Scripture, Jesus spoke to multitudes, thousands of people. And then he had 70 that he was close to. And then he had 12 that he was close to. And out of the 12, there were three. And out of the three, there was just one. That was John the Beloved. So how close do we want to be to the Lord? And we're going to look at some measurements so that we can get these gauges. All the gauges we saw here this morning, there are three gauges that God wants to give to each one of us today. Now, in school and in our social climate, our social atmosphere that we're in, what are some of the gauges that are used to value or devalue people? What are some of the gauges? How do we judge people? How do we value them, or how does the world value certain people? Anybody? Yes. Physical appearance. All right? Yes. How smart you are. If you are born with a lot of brains, you know, you're just really intelligent. Ooh, you guys live in school all day long, right? Everybody knows that if you're really smart, God must really be happy with you. Is that true? Not necessarily. It's if you give your brains and you use them for Him, fantastic. What's another way? What's another gauge? Yes. Skill. Yes. Oh, like our brother playing the guitar up here. Very skillful. You know, now he's using it for the Lord. That's fantastic. That's exciting. And you can do the same thing. However God has made you, you use it for Him. All right? So we've got good looks, intelligence. All right? Different kinds of skills that we have. We get rewarded for that. Position, you know, there are some kids in your schools, you know, that have high ranking socially. And whatever they say, you know, that becomes cool. I saw a movie where a guy made up a word. I don't remember what the word was, but it was supposed to be cool. So he started getting that word out there, and pretty soon everybody thought that was cool. So I saw that movie. I thought, you know, I'm going to try that. So I started saying, the only cool that there really is, I started saying, whoa. Because you got to say whoa if you're going to be cool. So I go, whoa, that is really Jesus cool. And so the kids start picking up on that. So now when something's really cool at Oakland Christian, they go, oh, that's Jesus cool. Yeah. You know, and a truth, a little truth out of Scripture, I call them juicy nuggets. Because God's Word is food. So I start calling them juicy nuggets. So now when somebody says something and it's, you know, a God cool, Jesus cool thing, oh, that's a juicy nugget. That'll last a long time. Go chew on that one. You know, so we have fun with that stuff. I'm working on another one. I won't tell you. I'll save it for later. All right. yeah, I'll save that one for another message. So there's all these standards of cool. All right, gauges. And we have to live with these. And if your teeth are growing in your head and they're coming out in five different directions, that can make you feel uncool. But that's not the right standard. And we know with our heads it's not the right standard. So what is happening today in youth culture is that the standards are changing in God's kids so that you guys start to live by His standards of cool, not by the world standards. And that's tough because you're in that public school environment. Even in a Christian school, it doesn't matter. Now, in the end, God is going to judge everybody. And that's a good thing. If you have lived a good way, and you've loved Him, and you've served Him with passion, then you're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because in the end, there are only those who are sheep and those who are goats. There's nobody in between. There's not a shagoat anywhere. Okay? They don't exist. There's wheat and there are tares. And I can't put those two words together to come up with something clever. There is good and evil, clean and unclean, the righteous and the unrighteous. And if every one of us are just honest today, we know we are declared righteous by the blood of Jesus. It covers me. And God looks down at heaven, from heaven, and He looks at me and He goes, oh, look at Joe, he's righteous. And then if He picks up that little covering and He looks inside, and I look inside, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. He sees that there's some things that still need to change. Because maybe Joe is lazy, you know. Maybe Joe uses his talents for his own good, you know. So then Jesus, kind of like the Holy Spirit, comes under that covering, lives in us, and begins to change us. And then we begin to really be excited and on fire for Him. These things are very, very important because they are heart issues. Scripture says, keep guard thine heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them both, and you'll save yourself and everybody who hears you. Because He gives us talents. We know the parable. All right, I'm going to look at three gauges. All right, very, very simple here. And again, on this thought of maturity, Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 13, and I don't want to put you to sleep by reading all those, but what it says is that God gives fivefold ministry. You have a pastor, you have teachers, apostles, evangelists, you know, and so on. And all of these are so that you can grow up, not get taller, but mature. Because the scripture there says, attaining to the measure of the fullness of Christ. How many of you have ever known anybody who was fully mature like Jesus Christ? I didn't think so. Me neither. Not yet. But that's what the Word of God says. Jesus multiplied food. Oh, the other day, this is so cool. These kids were preparing for like Detroit Rescue Mission. They were going down there to have a little party with some kids, okay? And they were told they were going to have 50 kids. So all the kids got together from this youth group, and they made all these cupcakes. They made 50 of them. They were going to play games, so they made 50 prizes. They packed it all up. They went down there on a Saturday. They got down there. There were 65 kids. They were freaking out. They go, what are we going to do? You know, we got to teach these kids to share. Who's going to share their cupcake, right? So they started handing the cupcakes out. They had them in these bakery boxes. Kept handing them out. Every kid got a cupcake. They only had 50, but they served 65. Jesus said we would do the same things and greater things than he did. Same thing with the prizes that they made. Okay? This was a new Christian, and God, you know, he just pours out to new Christians. He wants to prove himself. You know, so that's fantastic. I did something phenomenal 2 days ago. I walked on water. It was my pond. It was frozen. But anyhow, I'm hoping for bigger and better things, you know. Today I drove on water. So God is good. Now here's our verse. Psalm 100, verse 4. I've said this over and over already. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him and bless his name. There are three gauges. Thanksgiving. That's how we come to the gate. The next gauge is praise. That's how we get a little closer. And the next gate, or the next gauge, is worship. So let's look at thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Thanksgiving is the pivotal point. If you are not thankful, you will go no further. You cannot get past that gate. You can't come into the parking lot, so to speak. You can't get to the first step. If you read Romans chapter 1, it's scary. Very scary. It says, because when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, and they were not thankful. And that thankfulness was the first step in another direction. Anybody here ever been unthankful? Raise your hand. Don't lie. Are you lying? Raise your hand. Okay, good. I've been unthankful. It just makes you nasty and miserable, you know? It's like eating at a Lebanese restaurant and having way too much garlic, and then you burp it up the rest of the day. It stinks, and everybody around you knows it. It's a gross example, but it happened to me and my wife. We went to a great restaurant, ate all this garlic stuff, and then we went to buy a camera, and the girl behind the counter says, it was at Lachish that we ate at. I won't eat there now because there's been reported they support terrorism, so I just boycott it no matter how much I love their tabooling. Anyhow, we went to buy a camera afterwards, and the girl behind the counter says, she was hilarious. She was this really spunky African-American girl, and she was reserving. She was keeping a lid on it. She goes, have you two ever heard of the restaurant called Lachish? And we looked at each other, oh, we're sorry. She goes, no, you're making me jealous. I want that too. But unthankfulness is like that. It's like a stench. It's a nasty smell. I told a kid the other day, I said, in my class, I said, I'm sorry, honey, you'll have to put that notebook away. You can't do that during my class. That's homework for another class. That was her attitude. Unthankful. She stunk up the whole room. It was terrible. All right, so thankfulness, very, very important, very important. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. We're called to be thankful. What are you thankful for? Your family, fantastic. How about you? What are you thankful for? Food. It's a good one. We forget in America. I'm going to China again in June, and we're going to minister to kids who are displaced. You know, they're coming in from the countryside. I forgot, 500,000 or 5 million something kids. We're going to teach English to them and do anything we can to help them. We have food. We have food. Amen. What are you thankful for, Alan? You are Alan, right? Oh, I'm you? Alex. Oh, I was so happy. I thought I got your name right. Okay, Alex. For your health. Yes, the older we get, the more we're thankful for health. How about you? Friends. Friends are so important. Yes. Now, you're all thinking, because you think I'm going to call on you next, so you're all thinking of what you're thankful for. I like that. Very good. Let's move on. The next one. The next one is praise. This is so... I got to tell you something. Thankfulness, praise, and worship. They are always happening. You have gauges inside of you somewhere. I don't know where they're at. But these things are always operating, and God can look down from heaven, just like in these slides I showed, and He can see your gauges. Thankfulness, unthankful, thankful. Praise. What is praise? What is praise? Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. What is praise? Just in the simplest thing, what is praise? Praise is whatever you talk about the most. That's what you praise. Tibor and I were sassy little teenage boys today in the car on the way here. We were talking about the new car that GM is coming out with. It's a Corvette that has like how many horsepower? 620 horsepower. I'm driving my little Mazda, but I'm pretending for a minute. You know, the G-force, you know, it's pulling my hair back, my eyes, everything. I mean, I look like you guys. You know, I'm going so fast. You know what I'm saying? I'm having a blast. And as we're talking, I'm thinking, we are praising horsepower. We're not praising God. You know, what do you talk about the most? That is your praise. It's not coming to church and saying, I love you, Lord. You know, that's not praise. Praise is what you hear in the hallway when somebody says, oh man, did you see that? I don't know what that is, but anyhow, they're praising it. Okay? Praise is what the fans do in the stands when their hero makes a touchdown or a basket or catches a fly ball or whatever they do. That's what praise is. Now, what do you talk about the most? This is important. Your gauge, the needle on your gauge, is showing what you really praise. It's just ordinary talk. What do you talk about? I used to head up homeschools, and I'd meet with the moms during the day and have these little sessions and stuff. The women would often talk about their husbands in a good way. You know, I have to check with Ralph. You know, oh, let me ask Gunther. I'll see what he feels about this, you know. I just made those names up, by the way. Anyhow, what do you talk about the most? In your words, where do your words come from? You just like, oh, pull them out of the thin air and, you know, no. Where do your words come from? Your vocal cords? Oh, come on. Where do they come from? Your tongue? Your teeth? Who can tell me where your words come from? Yes. Your heart. Your words come from your heart. Your heart. Your affection. Talk about Valentine's Day. Okay? So whatever you talk about is really what you think about. And the scripture says, as you think, that is who you are. That's who you are. And don't be hard on yourself this morning. If you think wrong thoughts, okay, don't beat yourself up. Because God knows you and He loves you. And as you love Him in return, He loves everybody. And then some people respond back, some a little bit, some a lot. Some bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 90, 100-fold. See, it's how we respond back that counts. So we're never thwarted. We never have a problem because we have a problem. All right? So there you go. Thanksgiving, you either are or you aren't. You're somewhere in between. Praise is simply what you talk about. And we have verses for that in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks, just as, you know, was already mentioned this morning. All right, the third thing is worship. And worship is very, very important. Extremely important. We find this in Hebrews 9, which was the verse I didn't even know that was the exact verse because I pulled it off of my iTunes And the Bible that I put into iTunes isn't available online, so all the data didn't come in with it. But I heard that, and I thought, ooh, this is good. So I plug that one in. And here's what it says. Now, the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up, a tent, okay, or a sanctuary. It is in its first room was a lampstand. It's the holy place where you could be with God. And a table and consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. And then there was this veil, a curtain. There was another room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and a gold-covered ark, a box, with a covenant. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant. It had a gold jar of manna and Aaron's rod, his staff that budded. And it was stored up the tables, the tablets of Moses there. And that's where God's presence was. That's where it's called the Shekinah glory of God, just glow there. This tent had no windows. And there was no source of light in that Holy of Holies. That's the place of worship. And now I want to bring worship down to just a real easy thing. Thanksgiving, we know. Praise is just what you talk about and think about. Worship is just what you value. It's the worth-ship that you put on anything. Worth-ship. Tibor and I, you know, could have given tremendous worth-ship to these fast cars, all right? Because we like that. We're guys, we like power. We just don't have the money to buy all that power, all right? But it doesn't change the fact that we like it, all right? Now the question is, what do you give the most value to? What is the most important thing in this world to you? And if you were a bunch of little kids in little class, you'd raise your hand and go, Jesus. You know, because that's always the answer, right? That is the right answer. Who do you love the most? What's the answer supposed to be? God. Right? Isn't that right? But we're challenged in this area of worship because we can spend a lot of time and thought, and we do, on the things that we really value. What do we really value? See, the exciting thing about coming here, guys, for me, you already know the Lord. You're already saved. That's great. Now what? Now is the adventure of living a life that is wholly dedicated to the Lord so that we don't stay in a parking lot, so that we don't hang out in the foyer, but that we come all the way into His very presence. And I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about this diagram that we saw and the invitation of the Almighty. He says, take heed to yourself, to the doctrine. Continue in both of those. And you will draw closer to Him, and you will save yourself and everybody who hears you. You'll live an adventurous, productive life that is full of zeal in a relationship with the Lord that is so satisfying that you will worship the Almighty in everything that you do. Because Jesus said it plainly to the one woman at the well. She says, are we supposed to worship over here? Or are we supposed to worship over here? You know, big dilemma. And Jesus just said, true worship is in your spirit and it's with truth. So we have some introspection this morning. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. You've heard the truth, and we look at ourselves and we can get all excited because if we're not thankful, if our thoughts and our praise is not exactly toward the Lord, you know, at the core of our being. And if we're valuing something of this world, the standards that you brought out, good looks, wealth, education, anything more than serving the Lord. If we have gifts or talents and we're not using them fully for the Lord, you see, then God takes delight and great pleasure putting His arm around you and just saying, come, my son, my daughter. You know, sit with me a while. Let's just have some time together where you can fall in love with me. And that's what God is doing in these days. Jesus Christ was never married when He was on the earth. So what he's doing is he's courting you. He's sending you love notes. He's sending you people that love you as an expression of his love towards you, so that you can respond back to him. And if anything is out of order, it's not a big deal. We serve a big God. Amen? Samuel, it's interesting. Little Samuel, I love this verse. I had to look it up. I was waiting for some friends this morning, and the Lord directed me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. And Samuel grew. Do you want to grow up in God? I want to walk on water, not while it's frozen either. I think it'd be kind of cool. Multiply food? Oh, yeah. But you know what? Heal people? You know, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Yeah, throw the crutches out. Yep, bust up the wheelchair. No need. Awesome! That's what God has promised. But you know what? By the time I get there, I won't care about the razzmatazz and the hullabaloo and the yuck it up for all the miracles. It'll only be because that just happens to be what God's doing and I was just there. See? Because he's the object, not the stuff that can happen. The key is growing up. Becoming mature Christians. This is my vision, and every time I come, it's something about maturing. It's adventurous and fun. Samuel grew, it says, and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel was the kind of kid that whenever God spoke, he was very attentive. Very attentive. You've seen pictures of my little granddaughters, and they're twins. Two of them are twins. The other one isn't. It'd be hard for all three of them to be twins. But two of them are. And one of them was walking away from my wife, and she was walking away, and she wasn't supposed to be walking away. And I think we've all done that. We've walked away when our conscience was saying, I shouldn't be, but we just kept walking. So my wife says, Hannah, are you listening to Grandma? Are you listening to me? Hannah turned around and said, not yet. And she just kept walking. You know? And so, you know, I mean, what do you do with that, right? It's hard to get upset, but, you know. But I think we do that. Samuel didn't do that. He listened. He let none of God's word fall to the ground. Let's pray together today. You have gauges. A gauge of thankfulness, a gauge of praise, and a gauge of worship. So, Father God, we come to you today, Lord. We take heed unto ourselves in your presence and in your light. There's liberty and freedom to be honest. There's nothing hidden today that you don't see. You see it all. You see my heart today. And Lord, you desire that I come higher in my relationship with you. That I be a living sacrifice. That I pray that you'll open our eyes today. There's only so much we can do. We can only respond to the grace you give us, the power that you give. So I pray for your power today in this place, that we will be a thankful people. And I pray for your power today that our hearts will be so changed that we praise you in daily life. That when we see something that is really Jesus cool, that we recognize that and we talk about it. And I pray today that you will so capture the depths of our love that we give you all the worth that we could possibly give. That we praise and worship you. And bring great delight to you. I pray that every one of us will give you a good time. We are created for your pleasure. And so, at the close of every day, we should ask ourselves, have I given you a good time? Am I thankful? Am I praising you? And do I really love you more than anything else? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.